Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Welcome back. It's hour number two, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Tom Brady, originally scheduled to speak at 3:45, has pushed it back to 4:15. We'll find out at 4:15, or maybe just prior to 4:15, if he's going to delay it again as he huddles with some experts on how to deal with this. But in the meantime, every Tuesday and Thursday, a little after 4, he has hit the All-Star break as well from TSN hockey analyst in Grand Rapids, Michigan right now. Ray Ferraro, how are you?
I'm doing well. I get it. I don't quite understand the Deflategate stuff, you know?
Yeah? What don't you understand?
Well, that if every quarterback that comes out, like Brad Johnson when they won the Super Bowl, and you know, he comes out years later and said he paid a ball boy $7,500 to doctor up the ball. Yeah. Like, if everybody knows what's going on, why is it such a big deal?
Because people hate the Patriots. There's a record of deception there. Personally, I'm with you. I assume, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. In the high-stakes game of professional sports at the highest level, I assume guilt until proven innocence. Sorry, that's how I am.
I don't disagree, but does it not seem ludicrous to you that, okay, here are the footballs. Don't do anything illegal with them, but here they are. You can look at them in private.
I think Rod just got through with a spiel before 4 o'clock on that.
Like, yeah, totally. Why don't they let the baseball pitchers take the baseballs in private into their own room?
Yeah, like the umpires rub up all the balls with mud before a game. There's this entire process that they go through every game.
Yeah, like the NFL, they're so concerned about image and every single dollar. They locked out the referees to save $300,000 on pension. So they have these strange mishaps. And yet when it comes to minute details like uniform and that, they're all over it. But footballs, that affects every play potentially in the game. Here, a team can provide their own 12. Doesn't really matter. Do what you want with them.
See, to me, there's no greater correlation than the football and the baseball. Because a new football doesn't get used in a game, and a new baseball doesn't get used in a baseball game. Yet the league, the umpires, control the baseballs, and the team controls the footballs. Like, how stupid is that? That's like getting a math test an hour before you get it, before you're going to write it, and they say, don't read any of the questions, but this is the test you're going to get.
It's the honor system, Ray. Come on, that's very noble.
That's why. Why do players hook other players on the ice? Because they're trying to cheat to get away with it.
If you
give them the avenue, they're going to do it.
Spoken like a true professional athlete. So,
win-win. That's what it's about, right? You get busted, now you got to pay the consequence, but the consequence is silly.
I am looking at the standings because we're going to run out of time. If Brady's on time, I want to get to this with you. If you look at the standings, we go with the East first. Especially, it's been like this for the last, I don't know, maybe week or so. You look at the top, the teams that are in a playoff position right now, and the teams on the outside looking in. I mean, I know a lot can happen, but is this basically it?
It's over.
It is over in the East.
Yeah, I think the 8 that are in are going to be the ones that are in. They're going to bounce up and down and move around between second and seventh. And, you know, like the points are pretty well jammed up, but there's that 7-point gap to Florida. And so in the second half, Florida's got to win 4 more games than somebody else. I just don't see it happening.
And what's really striking to me is in the last little while, and I don't watch as much hockey as you, but pretty close. I mean, I know that St. Louis and Chicago, and we just saw Nashville and Anaheim, they're really, really good. But there are some the teams in the East are really, really good, too. It's not so one-sided.
You know, I would say, you know, before the season and the beginning of the season, you know, you looked at those teams in California, and they seemed bulletproof. And then you had the you know, Chicago and St. Louis, and you went, wow, there's 5 teams. You know, how is anyone going to beat them? Well, L.A.'s outside the playoffs. They clearly got some holes. Anaheim's won, I think, 15 one-goal games. That doesn't happen all year. You know, I mean, it just never does. And San Jose's clearly not the team that they were even a year and a half ago. So I don't see this great disparity anymore. And maybe that is what a salary cap does. But they're, you know, I watched the Rangers the other night. They're really good.
Yeah.
They got a fantastic defense and, you know, and a terrific goaltender. And Rick Nash is not Rick Nash from last year. Like, he looked completely different, guys. I was like, that's Rick Nash again. And so I would say the West is, you know, is going to have, you know, there's going to be still a little bit of jockeying around. You know, of course, they're closely bunched or more closely bunched towards the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams than the East. And so maybe somebody that's out will get in. You know, maybe LA will put it together and get themselves in. But I would say it's not as much a slam dunk as I thought it was going to be before the season. But, you know, St. Do you believe in Brian Elliott? I don't know yet. That's St. Louis's Achilles heel. What if one of Chicago's top four D go down? They don't have any cap room to go get anybody else. I mean, that could be a, you know, a problematic spot for them too.
And I know several weeks ago you didn't think Calgary could hang in there. They have slipped dramatically, but they are hanging in there right now, 1 point ahead of LA. And Colorado's coming on with another win last night against Boston.
I've been really impressed with Calgary. That, you know, that the resiliency that they've shown, they hung in there with no centerman for the longest period of time. It's kind of like Winnipeg hanging in there with no defenseman, and they both found a way around it, and so, I mean, that is really impressive. I just don't know that Calgary has enough. I keep waiting for LA to put together a 10-1-1 stretch. Maybe they're not going to do it this year. You know, they don't have Slava Voyanov, and there's certainly no realistic road that he's going to get back in the lineup. And, you know, Dustin Brown doesn't look like the player he was even a couple of years ago. And they're in year one of a 7-year extension with him. You know, maybe all those games over the last 3 years are going to catch up to LA, and they just don't have the juice to make it. Now, you know, I keep reading about Ryan O'Reilly getting traded out of Colorado, but man, with this run they're on, maybe they don't. And maybe they add a piece towards the deadline, and they make a push into the playoff run. You know, there's still complications in the West. They're just not in the East.
With Ray Ferraro every Thursday and Tuesday after 4 o'clock, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. We've done it through the entire pre All Star break portion of the schedule, so we may as well finish up with the power play as well. It is on fire right now, finally, for the first time in a calendar year. Since the Columbus game, they're at about 40%. Both their goals to beat Nashville the other night came on the power play. You noticed a great difference other than the puck going in?
I would say the one thing you always notice when a power play starts to score is that when the puck goes, for example, from side to side, and the shooter's on the far side of the ice, it goes pass, pass, shot. It's not pass, hold, hold, shot, which is too slow.
Right.
And when guys are confident, and you know a couple of pucks going in the net really changes your outlook on what you're trying to do. All of a sudden, the puck gets zipped around, the shots get straight through. The guy that's supposed to be providing traffic is there at the right time. It's not a lot of big things, especially when you have capable personnel. Sometimes you can have the best execution, you just don't have the personnel. We've said all year Montreal's power play should be better than it is. It just isn't. And right now they're on a run, and I'm sure the coaches would like the power play to keep working on it during the break when everybody's down in the Caribbean somewhere on a holiday. They would like them to keep thinking about it because that's magic. If you can have a special team success rate, where you know where you score more power play goals and give up power play goals, and 5-on-5, you have as good a team as Montreal, and you have Carey Price, you become a danger.
All right, so assuming the power play continues to at least be effective, not necessarily as dangerous as we've seen, but effective, and it picks up for the entire post-All-Star break, in the best possible world, who or what is Marc Bergevin looking for prior to the deadline?
Oh, I think he would want to add some firmness on the blue line for sure. You know, they dumped Rennie Bork's contract. They picked up Brian Allen, who, you know, is just not mobile enough. But somebody like Allen, a, you know, strong, dependable third-pair guy that could maybe move up. I mean, that's what Yemelin is supposed to be, right? He's supposed to be a second-pair guy, but he looks like he's really, I don't know, he doesn't look like he's turning the corner to me. He looks like he's kind of stagnated a bit, and I'm not real sure why. But it seems like it is. I would say they'd probably like to add some size on the blue line for sure.
Mm-hmm. Is there any storyline in post All-Star that you're looking forward to covering, being at the rings?
You know what? I would say after the you know, living in Canada, after the debacle of last year, the number of Canadian teams that didn't make the playoffs, is how different is it going to be this year? You know, can Vancouver hang on? I think so. What about Winnipeg? What a great story that's going to be if they get in. You know, Toronto and Ottawa are sunk. Montreal's going to be in. Can Calgary hang on? Wow, that'd be four teams. All of a sudden, it's a different story, isn't it?
Wait a minute. Toronto sunk?
Oh, my God.
They're done? Really? Come on, they scored three goals last night, right?
Yeah, and they didn't win. You know, right now, I mean, they can't win for losing right now. I mean, they need this break more than any team that they could possibly imagine right now. They're the Peanuts character with the cloud over them right now.
Do you think Joffrey Lupul would benefit by going to a different team? And look, he's got 3 years left on his contract, cap it over $5 million. He's 31 years old, so there's a lot playing against him. But if you were to put him, say, here in Montreal, in that slot that kind of is reserved for P.A. Parenteau, who's battled concussion issues now, do you think Lupul could get it going?
Oh, I do. I think Lupul's a very good player. I think Lupul's better than P.A. Parenteau. But the one thing, there's two things you've got to weigh. Rod, you brought up his contract. Number two is the number of games that he misses. And having a player injured as much, unfortunately, as Joffrey Lupul has been, basically you have to look at it like you've got an inconsistent player. Because when he's not there, he's not producing anything. And unfortunately, there's lots of times he's not there. I would think he would be one of the guys, when Toronto's trying to clear cap space, he would be one of the guys they would try to move for sure. And I think he could be a really, really solid addition on a very good team.
I haven't watched an NHL All-Star game, honest to God, unless it was a special format. I have not watched an NHL All-Star game in about 20 years. Do you take this opportunity to miss it? Do you have to work or what?
I won't watch one second of it. There's not anything that interests me in it other than the skills contest.
The day before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game? You kidding me? No interest. And as I said on TV the other night there, you know, they try really hard, I think, the league to make it cool and different. Now they got the guys dressed in BMX uniforms this year. You know, I think they're going to look silly. I think the format's goofy. And you can't make a physical sport have an all-star game that's interesting to me.
All right. Kind of like the Pro Bowl in football. Tom Brady is at the podium. Perfect timing, Ray. All the best. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.